back for the final hour of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. That's when Sports Talk will take over. Hope you're having a good afternoon so far. We're having a lot of fun today. We really enjoyed in the first hour talking to Chris Lofton. Go back and check that interview out if you missed it, or if you want to listen to it again. We talked about his time at Tennessee, the start of the Bruce Pearl era, gave us a lot of good information, good stories there about that time between Buzz Peterson being hired and Bruce Pearl taking over. Maybe some of the guys, Chris included, weren't taking care of all their responsibilities. So there was some running to do to catch up on where things had fallen off. And then also his cancer battle between his junior and his senior season and the inspiration that he has provided people and what he learned about, I guess, himself and just everything through that. So really enjoyed talking to Chris. Great guy, great basketball player as well, of course.
Yeah, it was great to catch up with him and the insight that he shared. And, you know, you wonder the sliding doors, if he would have taken a red shirt his senior year to maybe get his strength and his body back. But still, it's an amazing story nonetheless, and it doesn't change the caliber of career that he had. I mean, he's still – I think if could we do a Mount Rushmore of Tennessee basketball? That would be really hard. I think if you did a poll like that, Chris Lofton's name would come up a lot. I don't know where he would be on there, but he is definitely a fan favorite. So that was a great interview and good to catch up with him as he's chilling in Lexington, Kentucky, watching some Ozark right now.
Yeah, well, he would definitely rank high on the list because he helped Tennessee win an SEC championship. All of his individual accomplishments, the way he stepped up in big games, no doubt Chris Lofton would rank high on the list of all-time great Tennessee basketball players. So enjoy talking to him. In the first hour, we will talk to Alan Bell from Sportsline.com about what's going on in the NFL coming up at 2:30. And on Wednesday, Jeremy Pruitt was a guest on the three-man front show on WJOX in Birmingham. And, of course, Jeremy Pruitt, like everybody else, has a little bit more downtime at home and still trying to work at home, no doubt. But things are just different right now. They don't have the face-to-face with the players. They're not going through the workouts on campus. They're not going through class right now. And coaches can still help. They're communicating. They're now doing video conferences as long as they have the technology available to do that. But also part of it comes back to player accountability. And we've talked a little bit about that. If you have more leadership within your team, that might give you a better chance to get through what's going on right now. And Jeremy Pruitt talked about that yesterday, leadership within the team from the players being really important right now.
You want to recruit the guys and have a team full of guys that, hey, they look in the mirror every day and they say, that's my opponent. I got to overcome myself. Everybody's not wired that way. Some guys need to be pushed and prodded a little bit more. But, I feel with the team that we have right now, we have really good leadership. We have guys that they want to do the right things. They're wired the right way when it comes to start with the classroom, doing what they're supposed to with their schoolwork. We've got guys, really good leadership. They're hard workers. They understand what accountability is about. We have that going on right now on our football team. We have a very close team. Our guys love being around each other. And it's been really good to see these guys interact with each other. You can tell they miss each other, right? So it's been really good for us to get them in groups and listen to the conversation and how they encourage each other, how they're concerned for each other's health. And their family's health, and I feel really good about the team that we have moving forward.
That was Jeremy Pruitt during his Wednesday appearance on Three Man Front on WJOX, our Cumulus station down in Birmingham. Heather, what do you think hearing those comments from Tennessee's head football coach?
Well, one, I think Tennessee is doing a great job of just, I think Jeremy Pruitt, he's been on several different mediums, kind of talking about what they're doing. And I appreciate that as somebody that has a vested interest in how the team is handling this type of adversity. Jeremy Pruitt, he's been available for several different interviews. And the fact that You see a lot of guys on social media as well. I saw Ramel Keaton posting parts of his workout that he was doing, some sprint exercises and stuff. But as far as you know, what they can actually do and how much they'll be able to get done, you can have a lot of the video conferences. People learn in different ways. Like, I could sit in a classroom and you could tell me things till you're blue in the face, and we could go over it 100 times. But until I actually went out and was hands-on, like, got to do that and figure it out for myself and like, either be on a field or if you're trying to put something together, you know, like, actually doing that, it's hard to know how much is actually going to sink in. And that's something that is a real reality that they're facing, is how are these guys the best at learning, and can we overcome some of that? And it's all on the fly, and this is all being done in real time, and it's intense, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's different, and you're right, players, people, not just players, people learn in different ways. And I think you rely on right now Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, Emmett Gooden coming back for his senior year. Those guys to help hold some others accountable. Alante Taylor, we were going to have the leadership conversation anyway. Henry To'oTo'o, I'm sure, is communicating, while he's just a sophomore, he's going to be a leader of that linebacker group. And Jarrett Garantano, of course, a fifth-year quarterback. Those are the guys that I think, just off the top of my head, those are players that you're going to lean on to help keep the others accountable. And if what Jeremy Pruitt is saying holds up, that they can, if the players are able to communicate on a regular basis with each other, and it's very easy to do that, then that will give you the best chance possible to come back intact. I mean, we don't know when that's happening. I mean, everybody's going to have some adjustment from being away for a few months, but you're trying to do the best you can in the meantime.
Yeah, and I think, and David Ubbin pointed this out in his mailbag today on theathletic.com, I think Jeremy Pruitt probably, don't hear me wrong, nobody feels good about being in the situation that they're in. I think he feels better than what some other guys around the league have to be feeling right now, and that's because you're bringing back like 16 or 17 starters, right? You have a lot of guys that already know how you run practice and how you do things that are going to be paving the way for the newcomers. So, and they got a little bit of a taste, you know, those early enrollees got a little bit of a taste of what practice is going to look like whenever they return to the practice field, going through a couple of days of spring. You have no major changes to your philosophies, so there's no major installs to do. So, again, while nobody feels good about the situation that they're in, you have to imagine that Jeremy Pruitt isn't freaking out on a minute-by-minute basis like some of the other, probably some of the new coaches, too, in the league, or even maybe somebody like a Kirby Smart who's got some big changes at Georgia. I mean, and that's high-stakes football. So I feel like Jeremy Pruitt probably feeling at least decent about what they are doing right now and how they're going to be able to hit the ground running whenever they get the green light.
So would you like to adjust your answer from 2 hours ago when I brought up the DraftKings over-under win total for Tennessee? It was set at 7, and you said you would lean under there.
Yeah, but I also said, my asterisk to that, I would take the unders across the board. I mean, everybody, because I feel like you are going to be susceptible to stubbing your toe at different times, especially early on in the season. So I think I'm still going to stick with that and figure out. I wish they would have set it at 7.5. I don't know. I feel like I would have felt better about taking the under, because I realized taking the under at 7, that just stinks. That's a bad answer. I do not like that answer.
But so what you're saying is 6-6 is more likely than 8-4.
That's what I'm thinking right now, and I think 8-4 was possible. I mean, if we would have been in week 3 of spring ball right now and this all had not have happened, I'm feeling awesome about 8-4, feeling really good about it, how the schedule gets dialed back a little bit. I mean, we've talked about that, how there's, you know, I have a lot of hope and a lot of stock in Jarrett Garantano and him taking a step forward. But right now, with no practice and just all this craziness, I just feel like there's going to be a lot of teams, everybody's just going to be scrambling to get a handle on the situation, and you're just going to be more susceptible to a loss that probably you would not have experienced had you gone through a normal off season and a normal summer period.
We'll come back here on Sports 180. An interesting statement from an athletic director at a major college football program on how much time might be needed to get ready for the start of a season. We'll have that for you coming up next. Big numbers for iRacing in NASCAR this past weekend. We'll tell you about that ahead of racing at Bristol this upcoming weekend. That's coming up next. Alan Bell of Sportsline at 2:30 as you continue to listen to FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Very interesting numbers on how the latest iRace in NASCAR performed on Fox this past weekend. We'll tell you about that before the segment ends. Also, we're all trying to get at least a feel for what's the schedule going to look like, and nobody knows. People are projecting or guessing or hoping. But I found this interesting reading just a few minutes ago. Penn State Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics, Sandy Barber, talking to the media, says she thinks the football program, and probably others too, other sports too, would need 60 days to ramp up for a season. Well, I saw Brian Fisher, longtime college football writer, say that he believes a lot of athletic programs are targeting July 1st to try to get back to normal activity. Well, if you do the math, July 1st, that gives you 2 months, 60 days roughly, to get ready for the start of a season. Yep. So that might be in line with what some others are thinking, and you're going to hear different timelines and all that. But as we talked about earlier, with Tennessee canceling on-campus classes through summer school, Ohio State had that announcement. I'm sure others have, and I'm sure others will. There will be the question of, well, can you get the athletes back on campus while they're doing the classes online? Nobody knows right now. I'm sure that you would hope to, but it sounds like some administrators might think you have to if you're going to start the football season on time. And I'm sure right now that their goal is to start on time. But interesting comments there from Sandy Barber, the AD at Penn State, that she thinks the football program would need 60 days to ramp up for a season. I'm not saying she's right, and others might disagree with that, but I would also think that she's not just coming up with that number randomly. I would imagine that's from conversations elsewhere. She also said this on the possibility of moving football to the spring this upcoming year. It would be a one-year basis would be the plan if they went that route. But the idea of playing the season in the spring semester, not the fall, she said, quote, if our return fits into a time frame that we have to do it in a non-traditional time of the year, I think we will all look to make that happen. They've got to have the revenue from football.
Yeah, they have to. Football is the machine that keeps all sports running. You have to have football to be able to still have the sports that are the Olympic sports on campus. I mean, football funds everything. We all know that. And so they will go to whatever lengths. And that could even be just playing without crowds. I have seen that thrown out there before, too, where you get the football teams back and maybe you're playing in empty stadiums and just having that TV revenue money, which there would still be gaps in your budgets because you wouldn't have the season ticket money that you're accustomed to. But, hey, some money is better than no money at this point in time. So you can imagine that everybody is eyeing any sort of way, any sort of time frame where they can make football happen for the 2020 season, even if it is, like you said, starting late in November and maybe going over the winter or even migrating all the way over to spring. And I saw Jay Busby, our buddy from Yahoo Sports, who joins us every week. I feel like what he wrote for Yahoo, it really makes sense. It's like, okay, trying to wrap your mind around this pandemic is like starting out a 100-yard dash. And you get halfway through, and they're like, no, 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 this is a mile run. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to get geared up for that. They're like, no, 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 just kidding. It's a 10K. Keep going. Oh, wait, a half marathon. Oh, now you're running a full marathon, but you haven't trained for it? Oh, I'm sorry. Tough luck. And that's like what everybody is dealing with right now. And I thought he was so poignant when he made that comparison. So everybody is just still trying to grasp at straws. And the fact of the matter is we don't even know where we're going to be at in a month as far as the virus is concerned, and if it's still spreading, if people are still having to social distance. I mean, you know, so many different factors are unknown at this point that I mean, I give them a lot of credit for trying to come up with timelines, but the timelines are just out the window at this point, don't you think?
Well, yes, in terms of knowing what will happen. They have to prepare different timelines. They have to. That's their job. But they don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I would say remain optimistic. Do not panic over anything. Don't become hysterical. All that stuff. But take the marathon mindset. I mean, you have to prepare that way. Otherwise, you set yourself up for disappointment and problems. So we all want this to end as quickly as possible. We all do, right?
Yep.
Nobody wants football season to not happen just to keep it into the sports world, because there are other ramifications as well. Nobody wants football season to not occur. But the administrators are having to prepare for other scenarios, whether it's the idea of football season in the spring or moving it up or shortening it. They just have to. That's their job. If they're not, then you need to find somebody else to do that job. But that doesn't mean you should panic or be overly concerned. You just have to recognize that there is so much unknown right now that you need to have options A, B, C, and on for whatever scenario plays out.
Do you think that the 60 days is realistic? Would you like to see it longer? I don't think you
can. To get ready for a season?
Yeah, to get ready for a season. I mean, 2 months.
I would think that's realistic. Yeah.
That's fast. I know they would have access to.
You think
to
that's
the,
fast, 60 days?
Yeah. Well, just think about it in you know, what they tell you when you are training for the marathon. And, I mean, you're supposed to start like 4 or 6 months out, you know? I just think about it like me. Dieting and doing like a lifestyle change and trying to lose weight, you know, I always start like 5 months before, you know, when we would have to be in a bathing suit to give myself enough time. Now I know everything's going to be accelerated and these are young bodies that are going to be fueled. I mean, they're going to have the best access to nutrition and stuff like that. But 60 days in a sport that it takes a long time to put on that much muscle to play it at a high level, it just sounds fast. That's probably a...
Well, hopefully these guys are not going to be coming back from just sitting on the couch for the next 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that there's going to be an acclimation period, but, I mean, that is two months of time. I would like to think that healthy, you're right, peak athletic performers would be able to do that in that time frame, as long as they are doing everything they can to prepare themselves in the meantime. Before we close out the hour, let's hit a quick pop-up fact.
It's time for today's Sports 180 pop-up fact of the day. A quick look at a did-you-know factoid.
Heather, we're looking forward to talking to Larry McReynolds from Fox at just about this time tomorrow. He's going to join us at 2:30, and we'll talk to him about the last 2 weeks of iRacing ahead of racing at Bristol, as this past week, it was week two, so you had a little bit more information to give people ahead of the race. 1.339 million people tuned in to watch the iRace at Texas. How about that?
I think that's awesome, and I just love the fact that they're finding an audience. You know, they are finding a way to put something captivating on television, and a lot of people are tuning in. So what people have to realize is there's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes to make something like this possible and to make something like this happen, and that it's awesome that they're liking it and watching it and want more of it. So the fact that it was such a big hit a couple of weeks ago and it was just thrown together in 4 days when he was telling us about it, now that they can actually put some advertising in and get the message out, I just think you're going to see these numbers continue to grow because people are tuning in and they like it, so they're going to retune in.
Larry McReynolds tomorrow at 2:30. Looking forward to talking to him about racing coming up this weekend. We want competition. We want sports. You get the NBA 2K tournament that's coming up as well. We'll take it. We'll come back. We'll take a quick break and talk to Alan Bell of Sportsline.com about the latest in the NFL. What do we make of Derrick Henry signing that franchise tender? Is that a good sign? That's coming up next here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We have another 30 minutes to go before Sports Talk will begin at 3 o'clock. We'll hit the power pole at the end of the hour, and you hear Alan Bell's music right there from Sportsline.com. He's on Twitter, at AlanBell247. He joins us now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Alan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. You all doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We are in a similar situation to you and everybody else, but we are moving forward. We've made it into April, which I think people thought would bring good news. Still waiting on that as well. But I think good news for the Titans, tell me if I'm wrong here, that Derrick Henry signed the franchise tender earlier today. So what does that mean, and does that indicate anything, at least from a good faith effort, to try to get a long-term deal done between the Titans and the Titans running back?
Yeah, definitely. So with him signing that tender, what that really means is that, you know, he's kind of locked in, per se, you know, really until July is when they have to come up, you know, with a longer-term deal. Obviously, another team could come in. However, I think that all of this, in terms of free agency and running backs really not having the large market that we saw, and especially the large names, you know, like a Devontae Freeman, like a Melvin Gordon leaving, Todd Gurley being released, what it goes to show is that the market really isn't there for running backs, you know, as we all knew, but it really took a dip this year. So I think that, you know, the Titans are going to come out ahead of this to where, you know, if Derrick Henry was looking at, you know, wanting 13 and a half, 14, even $15 million per year, that price could drop significantly, and they could get him for you know, probably 12 and a half, you know, maybe even 13, because I don't see another team, you know, wanting to take a risk, you know, with a high price on a running back.
Do you think that Derrick Henry, I know he signed the tag, do you think he feels the commitment from the Tennessee Titans? Like, is he feeling the love right now and going to be motivated to get a long-term deal worked out?
Yeah, definitely. I do. You know, he wants to be here. The Titans want him here. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have clearly shown, and even, you know, last year and towards the end of 2018, that, you know, he's a huge part of what they're doing. And I think that, you know, that John Robinson went into this, you know, with the franchise tag and free agency to Derrick Henry to say, look, hey, we're just using this franchise tag to buy both of us time. We're going to get this thing done. Don't worry about it. We've got your best interest in mind, you know, and they're going to get that thing done. So, yeah, I don't think that there's any concern whatsoever on either side. They'll get a deal done for sure.
We're talking to Alan Bell. Sportsline.com is the website. What about Jadeveon Clowney? The latest there with talk that maybe he could ask for a little bit less, but Seahawks and Titans seem to be getting the most attention. What do you think about Jadeveon Clowney right now?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, reported that, you know, his price tag came down, you know, from wanting roughly $20 million a year to around 17, which is still expensive. But if you look, you know, the three teams really interested, you know, would be the Seahawks, the Titans, and the New York Jets. Okay. So if you pay attention to yesterday of what the Seahawks did, they brought back a defensive end for about $3.5 million per year, could be $4 million. The Seahawks don't have a ton of money necessarily to work with. So that tells me that I think that they're out on the Jadeveon Clowney market unless his price just absurdly drops. So if we go on that theory that the Titans and Jets are both in it, the Jets are more known for making, you know, trying to make big splash signings. Because that's what teams, you know, generally that pick in the top 10 do. However, I think John Robinson and the Titans are going to look at that and say, you know what, if we could get that down to about $15.5 million, get some incentive bonuses in there, they can bring him in. The hard part is that, you know, the Titans are up against it in terms of cap, because not only, you know, do you have to have, you know, money for the season, but you got to have money for your draft picks as well, right? So you can't just empty the bank. In April, you got to have some for the season. So if they get the price right, Clowney can make a lot of sense.
Now, let's assume that we are able to have the 2020 football season and everything is just all good and football is back on schedule. Is Antonio Brown going to be playing for a team in 2020?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. You know what? I think that he will. He's shown the last couple months at least being quiet. You know, which is a good start. And I think that, you know, with everything that's gone on, you know, with this kind of coronavirus and just world scare, that we really kind of taken our eyes off, you know, of Antonio Brown. And I think that could play in his favor. You know, he's still going to have to get with Roger Goodell to get the approval. But, you know, a guy like him, a talent like he is and a marketable name, there's always going to be teams interested. I mean, there really will be. You know, somebody would want to give him a chance. You know, the price is going to be very low. And again, Goodell's going to have to say yes. But, yeah, I would lean more towards that he does play than he doesn't. It might take a little time to get him in there. But, yeah, I think he'll take a snap this season.
Alan Bell, Sportsline.com. What do you think about the comeback attempt for Aldon Smith signing with the Dallas Cowboys?
You know what? Hey, I'll tell you what. That goes perfectly with the previous question in terms of Antonio Brown, that, you know what, the NFL is all about what can you do. And if you've had transgressions and you've had issues, if you could play, somebody's going to sign you, right? Like, somebody's going to give you a chance. I'll be honest with you, you know, for the Cowboys to pick him up, I love anybody that gets another chance, especially if they truly are, you know, looking to kind of change their life and make themselves better. I'm all for it, man. And second, you got to give credit to the Cowboys for what they've done this offseason. Their signings of an Aldon Smith, you know, that's a low risk, potentially high reward. Gerald McCoy, low risk, potential high reward. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix, the same. I mean, they have made really good signings for not expensive prices of guys that have made plays in this league. So I got to give them credit. The Dallas Cowboys have crushed it in free agency in the draft the last few years. And if this team comes back healthy this year, look out. They're going to be really good.
Hey, Alan, I also read earlier this morning the Saints. I think there's about 12 to 15 people. Maybe it's even fewer than that. They are setting up shop in a brewery, and that is their new draft headquarters right outside of New Orleans. Is this a good idea for the Saints, or if you see some curious moves made during the draft that maybe they were getting into some of that stuff in the brewery?
Well, you know, first off, I think New Orleans is one of the only cities that can really pull that off, where they say, yeah, they're in a bar. It makes sense, right? You know, here's the interesting part. So Goodell sent out that memo last week, the end of last week, that said the draft is going to happen, but teams can't be in their facilities, but they're going to work with, you know, each club to set up, you know, teleconferencing and things like that. So if no one could be in the facility, where are you going to go? You know, like, looking at here, you know, for Tennessee, like, are they going to do it at Mike Vrabel's house? Is it at John? Like, where are you going to set this thing up? You still have to kind of limit the number of people that are there. So, I mean, we're going to hear stories like this because there's only so many places that you can go and do this. But I love that they're doing it at a bar. And, yeah, they're in a brewery. And I love exactly what you said. Like, if they start making wild trades, everybody's going to say, all right, what's going on at this brewery? We need to get in here.
Yeah. He said they've got the big board up. He said that Sean Payton said everybody's still staying really far away from him, having, you know, had the coronavirus, and he made a full recovery. He goes, I'm the safest guy in the room right now, people. Like, why aren't you realizing this? It was just a really funny story, and one that could only come out of New Orleans.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I love. Like, Sean Payton is a really good guy. He's funny. You know, he obviously takes his job seriously, but he doesn't take himself too seriously, right? Like, he can have fun with things. And yeah, I mean, he's right. You know, he is the safest. I mean, he's already had it, gone through it. You know, I don't know if they're going to put him in like a bubble to keep him, you know, from everyone else that's there. But yeah, I mean, we're going to hear funny and crazy stories about this, because if teams can't go in their facilities, they have to go somewhere. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Alan Bell, Sportsline.com. Alan, before you go, I want to pay you a sincere compliment. You're always informative and entertaining, but also really encouraging the last few days, especially there for locals in the Nashville area where you are. Anything you would add for folks out there who are, you know, just trying to get through what we're all dealing with at the same time, as I know you have through the social media channels already?
Man, I really appreciate that. And you know, I think that, you know, especially, you know, for Americans, but, you know, Tennesseans as well, you know, the state, it's a volunteer state for a reason. And, you know, there's some people that are really hurting out there. And, you know, those of us who are a little bit more lucky, you know, for, you know, just the ball bouncing the right way, you know, you just got to help people out. So I would just say, you know, anytime that, you know, you're out or you're thinking about other people, you know, just think of, you know, what you can do. It doesn't have to be, you know, a ton of money or anything like that, but anything you can do for somebody else, it really goes a long way. So, you know, I like that. I subscribe to that theory. And if anybody out there is really hurting, find me on Twitter, man. We'll figure out a way to get you through.
He's on Twitter, at AlanBell247. Recommend you follow him there. Also, Sportsline keeps the news coming. So what can people check out with the website when they go to sportsline.com?
Yeah, definitely. You know, so we're all in, obviously, on the draft right now. We've got a lot of you know, over-unders, breakdowns, you know, on players that are going to be selected, which teams make the most sense. We're going to break down projections on, you know, quarterbacks going to teams, running backs, wide receivers, how much they help for this season. So, yeah, keep it tuned, sportsline.com. And you don't have to be a subscriber. you go to the news section right there at the front of the website, it's free for everyone. So yeah, sportsline.com, click the news tab right there, and I guarantee you'll find exactly what you're looking for.
Find him on Twitter as well, at AlanBell247. Alan, thanks again. We always appreciate it. 3 weeks to go from the draft, so we'll talk about that with you coming up again soon. We'll talk to you next week. Look forward to it.
Can't wait. You guys be good. Thank you.
Alan Bell every week right here with us on Sports 180, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Yeah,
always good stuff.
You're right. Always good stuff. Great content when it comes to football and following the NFL, but also has a lot of fun on Twitter and is always a nice bright spot. So we always appreciate him joining us.
No doubt. We will come back with the final segment. We're going to hit the power poll. You want to rank top five sandwiches? It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Let's do it. I love this.
All right, we will when we come back. We'll get you ready for sports talk at 3 o'clock. We'll wrap things up. Coming up next, the Power Poll, very important subject, top five sandwiches, right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal.
I like sandwiches. I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches.
Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. What a song you've dug up right here, Joel Silverberg. This is perfect as we will rank top five sandwiches coming up in just a moment.
I do what I can.
That's true. You have a favorite sandwich. We've talked about the peanut butter and jelly. Do you rank that number one yourself? What would you go, which direction in this conversation, Joel?
I'm more of a straight up peanut butter guy. If I'm going with a more classic sandwich, I'm a big panini guy. So any form of a chicken panini is probably going to be high on my list.
Oh, man.
Paninis are good, yeah.
Yeah. Pinkies up. That's a fancy answer. I like that. Shout out to the Cuban sandwich. Not making it into my top five.
Oh, man. Cuban sandwiches.
A pressed Cuban sandwich. Woo. Can't beat it.
Yeah. Real deal. Holyfield right there. Also, it's PB&J day, but and that's the number one, I would say, pretty clearly overall in the peanut butter and something conversation. But you can go peanut butter and syrup, peanut butter and honey. If you're just an animal, you can go peanut butter and mayo. So there are a number.
I've heard of people doing that. What is it? I don't understand how that goes together.
Yeah, it's outrageous, to be clear. But there is a fraction of society that eats peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches.
And anarchists.
While I think they should be charged with misdemeanors, it nevertheless is currently allowed by law. Dustin Minot was tweeting about it with his wife, I believe, enjoying them. And I added in that Ted Hall of WVLT, that he's a big peanut butter and mayo proponent. And Ted chimed in. I think that he had eaten one that day.
Oh,
and then, of course, I directed his tweet to @KnoxSheriff. So, you got to make sure that you're keeping your priorities in line for sure.
Man, that is just wild. I wonder what it is. Maybe I'll have to taste that at some point in time, but I really just would not waste bread or peanut butter and then mix it with mayo. That just, we're way out of my realm of comfort right there. That's out of the zone.
I mean, you want to find signs of society just being out of control. I mean, that's what you're looking at right there.
I also never was a fan of peanut butter and banana sandwiches. I
think peanut butter and banana is good.
Okay. I can appreciate having a banana while eating a peanut butter sandwich, maybe a peanut butter and honey sandwich, a little banana action on the side. But man, I'm not a fan of actually cutting it up and putting it on the sandwich. Always thought that was weird. Always thought people that put chips into a sandwich and like smushed it, I always thought that was weird too.
Yeah, a couple years ago, Will West tried to shame me because I'm not a chip cruncher on a sandwich guy. And you have at it if you want to. I don't find it to be a necessary tactic. It's very lazy. I can just pick up the chips and eat them myself. I don't need to put them on the sandwich.
Yeah, I've got time. I've got two hands. So give me one hand with a sandwich, one hand for chips, and we can rock and roll. I've been doing it for 36 years.
Yeah, to me, you haven't called it a day. You've called it a week or a month at that point if you're crunching up your chips and putting them on your sandwiches.
It was supposed to be the summer of George.
So, we'll break that all down coming up in just a moment with the Power Poll. We've had some fun with it today. Had a lot of fun talking to Chris Lofton in the early part of the show. We might bring a little bit of that back maybe late in the show tomorrow with our Sports 180 Rewind. Why not? And we'll get you ready for the weekend coming up tomorrow. And daily reminder, get out there and support local businesses, local restaurants, organizations. You know, the work that Second Harvest continues to do is just so important, and other organizations out there. So I know a lot of people listening, you have an organization that's important to you. So if you can support financially, that's important. If you can volunteer,
yep,
that's important. And also supporting businesses right here in our own community, restaurants, shops, all that stuff online, you know, whichever way you're most comfortable. If you can, I would just encourage you to.
Yeah, and continue to be good neighbors. I mean, you know, I was just in the grocery store like a week ago, and I felt like people were really crowding, and everybody needs to stay apart. You can't be going to the parks and stuff like that. You just have to, I know it stinks right now. This is not how anybody wants to spend their spring, but if we can get a grasp on the situation that we're in right now, we don't want to prolong it any more than we already are looking at. So everybody just continue to be great neighbors, and wherever you can help, even just little bit, dropping off a roll of toilet paper to your neighbor that maybe made a comment they didn't have any toilet paper, leave it on their porch, ring the doorbell, and head out. So just continue to be good neighbors, and let's all get through this.
That's what we're trying to do, and we'll continue to monitor for sports news out there. I think you'll continue to hear either coaches or administrators just kind of weigh in on what's going on behind the scenes. They do have more time, but also I think they're trying to update as best they can the thought process behind the scenes. We heard a little bit from Jeremy Pruitt earlier as he was a guest on JOX down in Birmingham. Rick Barnes was on the Eric Ainge Show earlier today. And then we mentioned the comments at the beginning of the hour from the athletic director at Penn State, talking about just they're maybe thinking of a timeline, 60 days needed maybe to get ready for the start of a football season. Nobody knows. Eli Drinkwitz maybe had a bit of a jab at Kirk Herbstreit yesterday and then walked it back on Paul Feinbaum's show. So
yeah,
it's a tense time for a lot of people. Let's recognize that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are under an inordinate, to quote Butch Jones, an inordinate amount of stress right now. And so a little bit of grace goes a long way. Somebody might need it right now. You might need it tomorrow. We all need grace in our lives. And so if you can just, you know, show some compassion, show some empathy in a situation, it'll come back around to you. I'm a firm believer of that, because we're all going to have a bad day between now and when this thing is over.
John Wilkerson really picking up some good karma points, making two appearances on Sports 180. That's going above and beyond. Getting ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes. John, hello again.
Hello. Yeah, the community service continues. I've still got time to serve.
Well, props. He's built up a lot of hours, we'll tell you that much. John, getting ready for Sports Talk. Before that, let's hit today's Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All righty, John, we have discussed it. It is peanut butter and jelly day, a combination that is as good as it gets, in my opinion. Also, apologies to those dealing with peanut allergies, because we've gone above and beyond in the conversation, and I'm sure you're tired of it at this point. So my apologies there. John, would you like to lead us off with your top five sandwiches?
Why, sure. And you can tell by my first two mentions that I can't wait for Easter to get here and for Lent to be gone. Number five, I'm going to go the French dip sandwich from Fieldhouse Social. Ooh. It's our game day all day home. It is marvelous. The au jus, that's real au jus sauce. It is unbelievable. So the French dip from Fieldhouse Social is my number five. Number four, I'm going Arby's roast beef. It's classic. It's wonderful every time out. Number three, goodness, this can change depending on what day of the week you talk to me, but number three, I go with the grilled cheese. Number two, peanut butter and jelly. And number one, because if you look at the sandwiches that I've had most over the last month, it would be the chicken sandwich. So the chicken sandwich would be my number one.
All righty, Heather Harrington, your top five sandwiches.
Well, man, with him putting the chicken sandwich there, I have an oversight. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all that I did not put that on there. And now
no chicken sandwich?
Yeah. How dumb. I'll go with what I did put. Number five is going to be the Philly cheesesteak. I mean, whether you're getting it from Lenny's That's one of my favorites around town, just wherever. Love a good Philly cheesesteak. Don't indulge often, but when I do, it's a good one. A BLT, if you want a pro tip, I love the BLT. Add a little pesto to the bread and use it like mayonnaise. Fantastic. It's really, really
good. BPLT.
Yeah, yeah. PBLT. I like that. Number three is the classic grilled cheese because it goes with everything. You can jazz it up. You can put a little Dijon mustard on there and get as fancy as you want to with it. Number two is going to be peanut butter and jelly for me. And then number one is going to be just a classic ham and cheese. Put a little lettuce on there, a little tomato, some mayo. Perfect sandwich.
Alrighty, honorable mentions. I have the BLT and the Philly cheesesteak written down, as well as the Cuban. Cuban was brought up. I think Cuban's fantastic. If you're jonesing for a Cuban sandwich and you get your hands on one, I don't think you're going to be happier. Number five, if I were in New York, I would eat one of these every day to begin my day. Lox and cream cheese bagel sandwich.
Ooh,
yeah.
Underappreciated. Don't get it that often, so I wish I did. Number four on my list, the grilled cheese, which feels too low, but I have the grilled cheese at number four. Heather, quick survey. How do you feel about items being added to a grilled cheese sandwich and still being called a grilled cheese sandwich? Like if there's meat on it,
it's a melt.
Yeah,
if there's meat on it, it's a melt. If you add like jelly to it, it's still a grilled cheese.
What if you had jelly? Why would you put jelly on the grilled cheese?
Yeah, some people put, like, different types of jams on there. I mean, yeah, people get fancy with their grilled cheeses.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, we got to rewrite the law.
There are savory jams out there.
Yeah, tomato jam.
Oh, okay. I was thinking more just, you know, your strawberry blackberry. Okay, no, that makes a little more sense. I'm sorry. All right, number three. I've got the club sandwich. Typically, if I'm choosing one deli meat, I would go turkey. Turkey's going to be my go-to. But you know what? If I get multiple options, why don't I accept? So turkey, roast beef, ham, put them all on there. A little bacon as well. Club sandwich number three. I'll go chicken sandwich number two. And I'll go PB&J because I think the versatility, the ability to travel. You can eat one at 10 a.m. and it makes sense. You can eat one at 6 p.m. and nobody's going to ask a question. So I'm going to go with the PB&J toasted bread, slightly strawberry jelly and creamy peanut butter. Nothing wrong with crunchy, just a little bit easier on the spread, a little lazier, let's be honest. That's the Power Poll, our top five sandwiches to close out Sports 180. John, what's coming up next on Sports Talk?
Josh, we may need your shoehorn hands to get everything in. We look forward to being joined by Ben Fredrickson, our good friend with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. That'll be at 3:35. At 4:05, we'll talk college football with Brett McMurphy. At 4:35, it's Slap Shots with Mike Murray, president and GM of the Ice Bears. Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com will be along for hour number three. At 6:15, we look forward to catching up with BFL Andre Lipsius. He was part of the group that left Tennessee baseball with the draft last year. And so we get to talk about his first year of pro ball, the fact that he bought cleats for this year's Tennessee baseball team, which was simply outstanding. And so much to catch up with Andre Lipsius. That'll be at 6:15. We've got that and so much more. News and notes, our trivia challenge, all that and more today on Sports Talk.
A big show ahead this afternoon. John, we appreciate the extra time as well as always on a Thursday. Look forward to Sports Talk here in just a few minutes.
All right. You guys have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here with us today. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. For Joel Silverberg, Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Sports Talk is next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.